Worship team, thank you so much. Thank you to our guests from the Refuge. Amen. You guys are such a blessing. I'm ready to dive into the Word this morning. I want to go ahead and give everybody an abundant measure of peace. I hope this brings you peace, but I will not formally dismiss in some of our services, and here's why. If God wants to take time, and let me actually color this a little further, I don't think it's actually God that has any problem doing these things. It's usually us that has the problem receiving these things, and some of us take longer than others. And so here's the freedom. You can leave at any time you need to leave to go to whatever meeting or lunch meeting or birthday parties or whatever, and you can be blessed in Jesus' name because we love you. So just wave hi and or bye at me when you walk out. You're blessed, but I want to make sure that whoever is being ministered to, I want to make sure that if the word is still going forth and someone just needs that, they need that time, that they have the freedom to do so, and it's not like, all right, we got to close down at a certain time. So that's not freedom to say we're going to take 4 hours every Sunday, but if God wants to do something that takes a little longer than normal, I want to give him the full reign to do whatever he wants. Are you with me? All right? So that is your open dismissal. Don't feel bad about it because I don't feel bad about it, and I won't think that you're like, oh man, this message stinks. I'm out of here. Won't even cross my mind. All right. So let's stand together. We're going to do our declaration, and we're going to jump into the word this morning in Hebrews 13. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen. You may be seated. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've already been placing in my heart for this moment, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the freedom that we'll find. I thank you for all the ways that you've been moving, all the ways that you continue to move. Lord, have your way in this place, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be here for a minute, so if you want to just kind of hold it here. But Hebrews 13, and we're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to read 15 and 16. So Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. I'm going to do what they say, do sometimes where it's like, are you there yet? And you say, there. Anybody there? All right. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of the lips that confess his name. Verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So if you're taking count, how many sacrifices did he say that God was pleased with there? Three? Sound about right? Yeah, so first up, sacrifice of praise. Next one, to do good. A sacrifice to do good. And the last one, my version is the NIV. It says to share with others, but really what it's talking about is fellowship. It's being with each other, okay? So we have three sacrifices that I want to talk to you about this morning, and that's praise, doing good, and fellowship. And so the way that he identified praise here is the fruit of the lips that confess his name. And so that's where we said, hey, what are we thankful for today? You see how God kind of knits all this together. He knows what he's doing better than we do. Amen. And so he brought me to the scripture in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So praise the fruit of the lips that confess his name. And do you see what he's saying there? We'll probably touch on it a little bit there in Philippians, so just kind of hold that place. But do you see there that there are attacks to the mind, and so he's telling you, you should probably be thinking about these things. There's attacks at our heart, and so you should be, you know, looking at or desiring the things that God wants to desire. And as I was thinking about all this, of course, those that know me know that my mind immediately went to our verse in John 15:5, where we get our name. Every last bit of this is impossible for our flesh. You can't do it. Many of us have tried year after year, day after day, minute by minute, and we failed every time. Come on, somebody testify to that. I failed every time. But the moment I said yes to Jesus, and instead of saying Jesus is my co-pilot, I said, no, you're the pilot. I'm going to sit in the back seat and enjoy the ride. All these things get easier. And so it's kind of like a conundrum, because people see us and they're like, oh, it's so easy. You've got it all put together. You're just such a good Christian. I'm like, nope, I just have lots of grace. Jesus, you know, Lord, forgive me every day. Like, he is very, very long-suffering with me. Amen? And I need that. I need that because I'm still a work in progress. But I know that the one who's begun that work in me is faithful to complete it, right? He does good things. Amen? And so I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry. I just need to get my hands off of trying to take control and let him do it. Amen? So if I abide in him, all that he has, all that he does, all that he thinks flows through me. And does anybody in here, can anyone say that Jesus is not pleasing to his Father? Anyone have any proof of that? Nope. Looking around, no proof. So Jesus is abundantly pleasing to his Father, and therefore if we abide in him, we are pleasing to the Father. Amen? I was thinking about praise, sacrifice of praise, that specific terminology. And I immediately thought, it's a sacrifice. And some of you heard sacrifice of praise and was like, oh yeah, I give up a sacrifice of praise. I get to listen to this person singing next to me during the worship service. That's a sacrifice, right? That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. That sacrifice of praise means even when you're going through the lowest level of hell in your life, it's similar to what Paul said. In all things, I found what it means to be content. I found what it means to be joyful in all this tribulation. These things don't move me, right? I had a pastor say it one way, and I loved the way he colored it. It was neat. He's talking about, you know, Paul. He's like, he had every right to say, as he was getting beaten and about to be thrown in jail, I'm a Roman. He's like, if I was getting hit, I'd be like, Roman, like, stop hitting me. But Paul didn't say it. Paul was thrown in the slammer, and he didn't tell him that he was Roman until much after, right? Are you with me? And once he was in the slammer, what did he do? We talked about this last week. He sang. He praised God in the dark, right? He wasn't saying, oh, I am a Roman. You guys are in so much trouble. Like, he didn't do any of that. But how many of us would have taken the easy way out and like, listen, the moment I say Roman, they're going to lose their minds and stop hitting me? Because it's easy. I don't want to get beat by a bunch of dudes, right? Persecution doesn't sound fun. No one signs up for it and says, yeah, give me a bowl of that in the morning. Skim milk, please. No one says it. But honestly, if we were put in that situation and we weren't walking with the Lord, we would scream Roman all day long. But that's the difference. Paul wasn't trying to build his own thing. He wasn't out to build his own kingdom. Man, if anyone had probably the credentials, if you will, as today thinks about it, to do such a thing, it would have been Paul. But he said, this is all rubbish. It's all trash. It's all garbage. There's more colorful words in the Greek and the Hebrew, but we won't use those here. I count it all as loss. I'm here to say yes to the Lord, the Lord's way, the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's everything be done in me and through me and around me. And hey, if taking me out of the equation ensures that it gets done faster, take me home. I do not want to be an obstacle to your kingdom, to your way. And there's so many of us, come on, my hand is sort of still raised, so I won't pull it down. So many of us that, gosh, we want to take the easy way out sometimes. We don't realize that, yeah, he knows that it's a sacrifice. Give it. He knows that it's hard. Do it. So we get to the next point. So we have the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips. Then we have doing good. Now, this is the same thing of like, you know, you hear those that don't believe in Jesus. They're like, I do so much good. I do so much more good than Christians do. Like, I'm a good person. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, it's kind of like for me, because I immediately thought of the scripture where the young man came up to him and he said, good teacher, right? And Jesus kind of sort of got onto him for it. He's like, I'm not good. Don't call me good. There's only one that's good, and that's God, right? Because when you look at God's measure of good, there's nothing any one of us can do that even comes close to that. So really, we need to make up a new word, goodish, right? We're good-ish. He's good. We're good-ish, right? Becoming more and more good-ish as we become more and more like him. Are you with me? And so Galatians 6, 1 through 10, I'm going to read this real quick. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should beat them. No. You who live by the Spirit should give them a hard time and tell them how terrible they are. You who live by the Spirit should ostracize them and say, you ruined it. You know, you got to go back to remedial level one. We're going to send you back to the nursery or Sunday school classes because you clearly didn't get it the first time. Does it say any of that? Does it say to remove them from the church? That's not what it says here. In fact, everybody who says those things, that's the most extreme of extreme things that Paul says after you've tried and 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 tried to minister to them for Jesus. And then he caps it off with, God is a God who wants us to operate in the ministry of reconciliation. That means that somewhere down the line, we're going to continue trying and trying and trying and trying and trying. Are you with me? So here's what the scripture actually says. Those who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Most of us stopped at the first part and didn't look at the second part because he answered, like, don't go here. You're going to go here. Don't go there. Watch yourselves. But he doesn't stop there. It actually gets more intensive. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What did Jesus say he could sum up the entire law as? Love God, love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. And the way that we do that, the way that we fulfill the law of Christ, is to carry each other's burdens. How many of you know that's not always easy? That's easier said than done. Like, it's like, oh yeah, pastor, that sounds great, but that's pretty hard. Well, I know it is. But if it let me color it this way. Instead of me saying, John, I messed up again every day, every week for the next 10 years, what that actually should mean is I talk to John, I talk to Tina, I talk to Jamie, I talk to Derek, I talk to Sam, and I'm getting this wisdom, this counsel to walk me through it, because each of them are going to respond to me differently. Some of them are going to be more nurturing. Amen for the nurturers. But some of them will be like, man, I just need to call you out in your junk. You need to just stop it. And we need those people too. And if we're all doing that in love, we'll know, and if we're led by the Spirit of the Lord, I believe we'll know when to go to the right person at the right time. And so if the entire body is engaged, if the entire body cares, if the entire body functions in love, I will never have a situation where I say, my church doesn't love me. Because John can't love me the way that I need by himself. I need a little bit from everyone, and you need a little bit from everyone, and that's why we're a family. And how many of you know, come on, we're going to shout down the house this morning. How many of you know sometimes family, we just, you know, we have a hard time. It's like, I don't like them today. I'm sure they've said it about me, right? One of my sisters moved like the furthest she possibly could from me, and I'm like, what'd I do? I'm sorry. But that's why we have a big family. Because it takes a little bit of time to get through those rough patches. But how many of you know that as you get through the rough patches, how much stronger is the family after the rough patch? Whoa, we went through it and we survived. We're not dead. We're alive, right? God got us through. And so we need each member of the family all functioning, all contributing, all carrying each other's burdens, and then no one's carrying everything. Are you with me? Verse 3. Early on, verse 3. If anyone thinks they are something that they are not, they deceive themselves. This kind of goes without saying, but if you got the strut and it's not one of those, like, you know, just humble, like, God's blessed me, you know, I'm just being, you know, walking in my calling, but, you know, you're kind of one of those that's like, look at how awesome I am. I'm the best thing that's ever happened. That's what he's talking about. Don't do it, okay? Are you with me? Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. So he ties those two together, and he even uses the word pride. Now, granted, I'm sure different translations use a different word, but I think the meaning or the gist there is the same. You can take joy in who God has called you to be without being full of ego, without being big-headed. Are you with me? Balance. All right, Lord, test me. Is there anything unclean or impure in me? Am I walking in alignment with you? And so, oh goodness, I'm going to go ahead and jump a little bit into our next one, just touching on a point here. But how we view ourselves, our own self-worth, who Jesus says that I am and what I believe about that, if I agree with him or if I don't, because there are people that'll, yeah, God says that about me, but I'm just not sure about that. Do you realize that you're sort of self-sabotaging your ability to be loved by others too? If you don't feel that you're good enough, even when they tell you that you are, you're not going to believe them. Well, yeah, that's nice to say, but I just don't know. If you are not certain in your identity in Jesus, who he says about you, what he says about you, then no man or woman is going to be able to convince you otherwise. And you're going to try and try and try and like, I'm just not loved. No one loves me. No one cares. Do you love you? What did he say? Love the Lord your God and love others as you love yourself. It's part of the puzzle, right? You can't walk around thinking that you're the scum of the earth and you're the worst thing of all time and just expect that love is going to be beaming and radiating out of you. It's not. You're probably going to be pretty stinky if you're like, I don't know what's going on here, but I don't know that I want any of that num-num, you know? No, I'm going to move on. Back to our verse in verse 6. So we're carrying our load, we're testing our actions, we're taking pride in ourselves alone, not in comparison, not in an egotistical way. Helping bear each other's loads together, one body. It says, nevertheless, verse 6, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Man, that hits with everybody too. It's like, oh gosh, now we're going to talk about money. Ugh. I was talking to Christy about this. It's like, you know, this drives me nuts. So it's a little bit of soapbox moment. I've got the pros and the cons, you know, been thinking about it. But everyone, I follow so many different ministries and things, and all good things. Man, they're winning souls for Jesus. I mean, really good ministries. But there is never a time that I have found that there's not someone in the chat that's like, why has it got to be something you charge for? How dare you? You guys are so awful. And like, just like unloading on them. And it's like a few minutes ago on their personal feed or on another ministry, they're like, oh, praise the Lord Jesus. God is so good. And it's like, what just happened? And the thing that I felt like as I'm talking to the Lord, he's you know, telling me about it. It's the fact that the church stopped being generous. And so ministry had to function like a business. And because the church won't be generous and give out of the goodness of their own heart, no one even has to ask for an offering. No one has to ask to take care of their family and feed them or travel to and from whatever the location is. They don't have to ask that because the church is generous and they're listening to Jesus and they're doing what he wants them to do. And so now they don't have to function like a business and say, we have to pay people so that they don't die. Oh, that's an interesting concept. Carry each other's burdens. Hey, you're in ministry, I'm not. I currently have an abundance of provision. I feel led that Jesus is telling me I should bless you in that because I'm not doing that. But in doing so, I'm now a partner with you in that ministry and I'm going to be blessed too. What it is, but I hope that starts from a place of generosity, not a like, hey, I'm going to sow into as many things as I can do, not really care about them, and just try to reap all the benefit. That's not what we're talking about. Hear me on that. But instead of getting so grumbly about that ministry has a nice jet, they get a nice car, he wears nice clothes, how about we stop trying to compare all those things and just say, Are the lost getting saved? Is the gospel being preached? Are people getting healed? Life's getting transformed? You know, set free from addictions or all the above? Is good happening? Let's look at the entire picture and stop trying to nitpick and say, can I get behind that? Is God speaking to me in that way? And then be obedient. So nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. We just talked about it. A man will reap what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Don't you want eternal life? More of that, Lord. More of your Spirit. So then encouragement. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Are we trying to build castles here? Are we letting him take care of the mansion and the place that he's prepared for us? Promise you, his is going to be better than yours. I promise you that. No doubt in my mind, his is going to trump yours every day of the week. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Man, I have seen things go so south amongst believers that actually they esteem others who are not believers better than the family of believers from a business-wise, a business transaction. Because what believers will often do is say, because I'm a believer, you should give me a discount. No, how about because I'm a believer, I'll continue taking care of you and working as if I'm working for the Lord. You bless me and I've blessed you. And then whether it's word of mouth or whether it's, you know, you have a skill and a service that I need, I'm going to call you and send you business. Like we got to stop thinking about how can I get cut a deal? Now, I'm not knocking anybody who says, because I do this. I have a lot of skills and I choose, I've talked about it with the Lord a number of times. I choose to offer it a certain way. But that doesn't mean that my standards on computer repair is the same as the place down the street. That's just what I want to do. So don't say, well, this guy I know, he gave me like a 50% discount. You should too. It just doesn't make sense. If you're following the theme of this morning, it's are you being led? Are you being led? So the last one we have here, and it was the sharing with others, the fellowship, the costing us something, remembering our own self-worth, what we value, the view of ourself, all those things are important. But I want to cap it off with, yeah, no, I want to read a little bit of Philippians 4. So we're continuing down the path here. We're going to start in verse 10. Sharing with others. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. The problems that we experience are not new. The Apostle Paul experienced the same thing in the early days when I set out. I don't know if you've looked at a map recently, but Israel and Macedonia, there's a ways between them, okay? And he says, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. So this isn't a problem that is unique to our age these days. This is a problem with the heart. This is, are we being led in generosity? Are we carrying each other's burdens? Are we asking the Lord, how can I help? How can I contribute? He said the Philippians supported him at the very beginning. He said, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more will be credited to your account. Come on, man. I love it. His heart, man. I have received full payment, and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to our God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He'll take care of it all. He sees it all. He knows it all. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is unimportant. In Hebrews 10:19, as we're wrapping up this morning, 10:19, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let's do what? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we professed, for he who promised is faithful. And I love this part. This is the community right here. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Who knows what a spur is? Who knows that you probably don't want to get jabbed with one of those, right? Like, giddy up, John. You know, I don't know, man. That doesn't sound too exciting, right? So what does that tell me? That means there are times when my brothers and sisters are gonna have to spur me on. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It might even be a little bit annoying, and I might even get all, like, big-headed about it. But if I'm really walking with the Lord, I'm going to say, ouch, thank you. Okay, I'm with you. Stop doing it, you know. I've had enough. I'm moving. I'm accelerating. How many of us know we need a couple spurs to really get, yeah, come on. And then it says something that has been such a sticking point with everybody lately. But at verse 25, and what does it say? Not giving up meeting together. It's important. Listen, I've paid lots of money to attend things online, and I've paid lots of money to attend them in person, and I guarantee I got a whole lot more out of in person. And I do this for a living. This is the stuff that I sell, so please don't stop buying it, because you provide for, you know, my family, but in person is better every time, every time. So the Word of God says, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And it is, come on. Pastors have been saying it for years, and we've all been right. It is still approaching. It's nearer now than when we first believed. Are you with me? All right. The worship team can come up. I say all this because he's Jesus. He just is so much better and so much more excellent. And so as I was processing sacrifices that bring praise and honor to God, I immediately was thinking about our time that we do on Wednesday nights in small group where we've been studying 1 Samuel. And Saul, the first king of Israel, made a big boo-boo. He messed things up, and the kingdom was taken from him. And as he was kind of getting reprimanded by the prophet, he started blaming the people. He started doing all this, and I'm just kind of accelerating the story. But he was just talking about how, well, we were preparing the sacrifice, and we were doing this, and we were doing that. And in 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel replied to Saul. He says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?" To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or to listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. So because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Is a real heavy time for everything that was going on here, but this was a picture of what it looked like to try to build your own kingdom. When God said later, he said, "I've already got somebody who's after my own heart. Someone that I picked." This was one that they picked. He's like, "Someone that I picked." And that doesn't mean that David never messed up, but he was so intent on doing it God's way that you see the noticeable difference in both of their rules. And so as I was thinking about this, Lord, okay, you know, obviously these sacrifices are in the New Testament. They are a good sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of doing good, sacrifice of fellowshipping and really being with each other. But he's elevating and say, the easy way to do all this, the easy way to take care of that is found in that abiding, but it's as simple as obedience. When you say it, I will go. When you say it, I will do it. Whatever you say, whatever you will, I want to do that. Right? And we see that picture in Jesus. This is why I know that we're on the right track. If we abide in Jesus, we are on the right track. Because it said, I'm going to skip. Well, no, I'm not going to skip. I'm going to read this for you. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. It says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united or abiding with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Man, that is revolutionary right here. How many of you think, "I'm going to care about what they care about instead of what I care about"? Like, that's just different. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He was obedient to his Father. And that was the absolute best sacrifice that could have been given. He said yes. And so God exalted. God lifted him up. And it gets better, because as we're united with Jesus, the Word of God says that we're made co-heirs with Christ. We get the blessings that flows from the sonship and the love that he has with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and those things flow to us. So if you're wondering today, you're like, man, why are things so difficult right now? What's going on? I encourage you to press in. I encourage you to get closer to Jesus. One, I believe that he'll answer what's going on and give you the solution and the way out. Amen? How many years was the prayer for a family, a baby? 12. How many times did you want to give up? 12 years. But God said. Someone walks over to Wole. Where's that, brother? Where's this God that you serve? He said, he's working on it. My faith is in him, not in me. He said he was working on it, and I believe him. 12 years later, she is one of the most beautiful little babies. If you haven't had a chance to go say hi, do it. Precious. Absolutely precious. Oh, yes, there she is. Yeah. And they're not the only story that God has done that for. Is he moving? Is he working? Or are we just talking about something imaginary? Are we talking about something imaginary today? Or something that is real and active and living and powerful, powerful today? Amen? So when things get dark, I encourage you to draw near. God, hide me in the shelter of your wings and help me see from your vantage point, not mine. Quiet all the noise. Let your voice be louder than all other voices. Renew my strength, renew my faith. Amen. I want to do one final thing. I know our worship team, I do want them to sing this song, but I'd ask Joe to come up. I was hoping that Tamika was going to be here, but she's not. But Joe, if you would come up. We are stepping into the new year on the Jewish calendar. It is called Rosh Hashanah. And I hope you have a horn. Did I hear? Yeah, you do. Good deal. Would you share a little bit and then feel led to blow the horn as you are led to?
It's very interesting, the feast of the Lord. The word says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And most of the feasts, there's seven feasts that the Lord gave to Israel. And many of them, he said, these are to be done from generation to generation wherever you live. Isaiah 9:3 predicts, is a prophecy that says God will increase Israel. And he's increased Israel with a double portion of Gentiles. And Ephesians 2:12 says, when you were separate from Messiah, you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no hope and were without God in the world. We are now part of the covenant of Israel. The gospel is Israel-centric, and Yeshua is coming back to establish his kingdom on the earth and to rule and reign over this earth. And the shofar is a ram's horn. It is a remembrance of when God told Abraham, he asked him, sacrifice your son. And God provided that sacrifice. That sacrifice was a ram. And so with the ram's horn, we make the shofar, and it is blown for the crowning of the king. It is blown for the gathering of the assembly. It is blown for many things. It is throughout the word of God, and it is the sound of triumph. We are waiting for that last shofar, for the resurrection of the dead. And with the Yom Teruah, which is the festival that is also Rosh Hashanah, is that it was known in Yeshua's time as the festival that no man knows the day or the hour, because that it is called as the new moon disappears. It was also known as the Feast of the Disappearance. Connections to, they are hints They are hints about the resurrection and the things that are coming that we can't see clearly until they are past, but we have hope in God. And so we blow the shofar in celebration of our salvation and in the hopes of what God is going to do.
Yes. So as we're winding down this morning, and we're going to have a worship time, so please feel free to linger. I want to share one more story for you as it pertains to that. We were praying one Tuesday evening, and we were praying for Israel. We were praying for a number of things. And Tamika, if you haven't met Tamika, she just blessed us all. And she let out her own blast of the trumpet. And Holy Spirit was all over it. It was just such a beautiful time. But we need to, you know, whether we were doing our own trumpet or we got a ram's horn, but in things that we're facing, in those trials that we're facing, sometimes the thing that unlocks it is our praise. Sometimes the things that unlocks it is our sound, and we're breaking those walls down and making way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, okay? So that's why the sound is so important. It's not something hooky or weird or any of that. It actually is a benefit to the people of God. So be encouraged today. We love you guys and we bless you in His name. Feel free to stay as we worship to a final song, and we will see you next week.